Jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome to another something-filled episode of Monday Night Magic.
News-filled!
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Contains things. Possibly even stuff.
This is Monday Night Magic number... Shut up. Number 634.
Hey, Chewy, is that a small number?
Well, compared to 10 million, it is a very small number.
I suppose you are correct.
But compared to normal podcast numbers, that is not a small number. So, I am Chewy.
He is.
Stuck in the middle with the bolus horns, there is Squee.
I am here.
And way over there with totally not a Cthulhu on his head is Clues.
That's right. There are no Cthulhus here whatsoever. None at all.
Nope.
Fatagan.
Shh. They don't need to know.
He might be sleeping.
Maybe he's waiting.
So, yes, we're here live on twitch.tv/themanapool, where you should totally come listen to and watch Monday Night Magic Live every week.
Although, if you have only ever listened to us and you've never seen us and you don't know what we look like, that picture that you have in your head of us, yet we don't actually look
it
like
it is completely
that,
and utterly wrong.
That was very
lovely. In every ruin way. It forever, so come on over and ruin it forever.
I have heard that ever since I started doing video stuff. I've heard that so many times. You don't look anything like I thought you would. And I always ask, what did you think I would look like? And I never get an answer. So, because I'm sure the answer is, I thought you'd be attractive.
Ooh.
Well, that's not it.
I never thought that. And I listened to your show for a while before I met you.
Yeah.
I mean, people actually thought I looked like a goblin, so here we are.
Wait, I thought you were just like three goblins in like a trench coat.
Dude, if I had a trench coat, I'd be warmer.
I have a beanie. Anyway, so obviously the big news is what we have to talk about first.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. At the Game Awards, of all places.
Yeah, so can we stop right there?
Good night, everybody. Great.
Well, actually, no, that's perfect. That's not quite what I meant. What exactly is the Game Awards? When did that start? And just what? Huh?
The Game Awards started apparently several years ago, but I never heard of it until I think last year, and I never paid any attention at all even this year, so.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, but it's become another place for gaming companies to announce things because there aren't enough places to do that already.
So in addition to all the places, they also have this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So Game Awards announcement about, I'm sure, let's say Return to Kamigawa.
Yeah. Yeah. So they told us a while ago, hey, there's going to be a big announcement at the Game Awards. And so speculation ran rampant. It turns out I was pretty close and I'm proud of me for that. Because I thought it would be something or other about Magic Arena and using it to somehow qualify for the Pro Tour, something like that. So it turns out I was on the right track, but I did not expect...
You just hadn't gone full blast with that. Like, dial it up.
Yeah. The, a lot of the speculation was, oh, they're bringing Arena to mobile. I'm like, that's not a place you make an announcement at the Game Awards.
No, but it's what I was hoping for Arena on anything but Windows.
Yeah, which again,
they don't have a big history of that, buddy.
That's not where you announce that.
It's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, you were hoping in vain.
That could just be on my tombstone, quite frankly. Here lies Clues. He hoped in vain.
Right. There we go.
Are you making my tombstone?
What? No, I had to fix the.
Because
okay.
I would like pepperoni and cheese on my tombstone.
Is that all?
I mean, it's pretty good, but you could do better.
Yeah, I could probably do better, but it's all I got right now.
Okay, there we go. I fixed the window. So, yes, at the Game Awards, they announced that Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast are throwing $10 million in prize pool at a giant new Magic as Esports thing. Yup.
Yeah. Esports. Yeah. Electronic sports.
Now, there are some numbers that are thrown around here. Do we want to talk about the breakdown of what we may or may not have pieced together about these numbers? And by we, I mean the community, not the crack Monday Night Magic reporting team, because it's just the three of us goobers.
Now, I would like to point out that there's a lot of stuff in here. Like, this is dense as hell. And Mike and I, Mike from the Manipool, this all happened right after the Manipool finished recording. So Mike and I were still on a call. So the odds and ends for last week's episode of the Manipool is a lot of this, where we're trying to figure out what in the actual hell is going on.
Thank you for not saying what I thought you were going to say when you started that sentence. Because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
True.
All right. But it's really dense. And not only are they throwing all this new information at you, but the words that you already know, they're not using anymore. Like Pro Tour.
Yeah.
And things like that. So it's new information and new terminology for the things you've already trained your brain for. So this took us a while to parse through. We still haven't figured out the best way to pass it along to everybody. So
yeah, we've actually been discussing how we were going to handle this since it happened.
Yeah.
And we're still not all there. So yeah, forgive us as we try. Don't be surprised if we hold off on mentioning a thing that you think is the most important until later, because we're going to hit all of it. Don't worry.
It
may just be a journey.
Did Bill just get really loud for half a second?
Maybe. No.
Not
could have been impassioned.
That was really weird. Okay. Anyway, so also, don't be surprised if we just miss something completely, because it's us. So let's just dive in here. They're throwing a total of $10 million in prize pool in 2019. That's across... Well, what?
That's the thing. I don't think it's actually $10 million in prize pool. Because what I've seen is that the total prize pool is still about the same, and it comes out to like $7.5 million. And the rest of that getting you up to the $10 million is all about the streaming contracts. By the way, that's another piece of news in a few minutes.
We will get there.
We will get there.
Thank you, Clues. So
I'm just saying that to say that it's going to be a $10 million prize pool is not.
We will. I think the only way we will get through this at all is if we address what they say, and then we can qualify it as we cover the rest of it, because otherwise everything here has an asterisk on it.
Yes. All right. Very well. Carry on.
I'm just reading the goddamn paragraph. $10 million prize pool up for grabs in 2019.
Okay, so the word grabs.
Clues, I swear to God, I'll kick you off this call. Sorry, it's going to be a three-hour episode as it is, all right? Chill.
All right, go.
Across digital and tabletop magic. By the way, the official term for paper magic is now tabletop magic. Just get used to that. Because that's what it is now. The word paper magic is no longer used by anybody officially.
You've heard it here first. The cards are going to be plastic.
Yes, which might help with the bending. Oh, okay.
I was going to say too soon, but nope, totally appropriate.
Tabletop foils.
They're just going to make the top of your table shiny.
That's right.
So
some luster.
That's the big announcement. The number 10 million was thrown out there as the headline grabber, and it worked. It grabbed a lot of headlines. Now, they're also forming the Magic Pro League, which is a 32-person thing. the first year of the MPL. By the way, MPL is Magic Pro League. There are a lot of new acronyms, so start sticking that in your head.
Yeah.
Not acronym, because acronym is a word, right? Like RAM.
There are a lot of abbreviations.
Is this an initialism?
Maybe. Anyway. Rather than
there are a lot of combinations of letters that are there because they're bad at actually naming things.
Correct. So the Magic Pro League is 32 players, we don't know who yet, who are going to be given player and streamer contracts with a combined worth of $75,000. We think that means each player gets $75,000?
Yeah, so each player...
I originally read that differently and thought it was terrible.
Yeah, each player can get a player and streamer contract. So those are two separate things that, when combined, are worth $75,000.
Yes, not each 32 combine their contracts into $75,000 because that's like what, less than $3,000 a piece or just under, just over something like that.
That would be under taxability.
Yeah.
And you get a third job and you get a third job.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll be competing in seasonal weekly competitive matchups on Magic Arena and in, oh God, Mythic Level Tournaments. Mythic Level Tournaments is the new name for the Pro Tour.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. So, one of the things, you remember Jerry T? You remember when he quit, well, when he abstained from Worlds to protest that Magic wasn't getting behind its players? Magic is now getting behind exactly 32 players. And it's getting behind them.
At least for the first year. There's no reason this couldn't grow or shrink after that, because they do say the inaugural year of the MPL comprises 32 of blah, blah.
Correct. But since the first year is the only one that matters for the purposes of this conversation, there you don't have to qualify everything, Clues. It's fine. So instead of getting behind nobody
I like specificity.
Just a couple of people, they're getting behind 32 very specific individuals who, again, we don't know yet. I don't even know if those players know yet.
I don't believe
we don't know anything yet. And they are going to be making them the stars, which is neat.
A 5-round tournament of players. I'll pick that number randomly.
Man, they can do 4 drafts. Wow.
They can actually make sure their game day fires.
Oh.
That's all of this, the entire $10 million was just a cunning plan to make sure that the
at least one fires. Game day somewhere fires.
So that's the first bit. The Magic Pro League will kick off with the Magic Invitational event at PAX East in Boston in March.
Hey, I'll be there.
Yeah, you will, with a $1 million event.
Hey, I won't be winning $1 million.
It says, the Invitational will showcase players in the new Magic Pro League battling against challengers. Somehow I missed that originally. Like I said, this is very dense. So the top 32 players who are in the Magic Pro League, and then presumably another 32 challengers, I would guess, maybe?
I'd assume. Who knows?
They're going to be invited, so it's probably not Clues.
But it's all invitational, so, yeah. It says maybe one of them can be you. Sure it will.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
Unless they're going to take, like, the top number of however many people ranked on Magic Arena, but since Magic Arena's ladder is still kind of, let's hope they fix that by then. But anyway. So, the rest of 2019 is going to be a new series of Mythic Championships. The Mythic Championships are the events that used to be Pro Tours.
Yeah, formerly known as Pro Tour.
Yes, Pro Tours are soon to be no longer. They are going to be Mythic Championships, which is essentially the same thing for the purposes of this conversation. They're just changing the name and some of the stuff that goes around it, but they're still the Pro Tours. So for everyone who's saying, they're killing Pro Tours, shut up, you are wrong. They're not.
They're
rebranding and changing a lot of the stuff that goes with it that is either archaic or
they
not
are
good business.
Taking the word pro out of it, because now pro means the people in the pro league.
Exactly.
Which is why this is a branding headache.
And I think the thing that lots of people were looking at here, start building your skills and your reputation today by playing MTG Arena.
I would if you'd release it on another platform.
It also says right above that, you'll be able to qualify for the MTG Arena Mythic Championships by playing Arena at home. So there will be Arena Mythic Championships and Tabletop Mythic Championships. The Tabletop ones are, again, the Pro Tours. Okay? Okay. And by the way, for another, I think, 5 days, if you have Magic Arena, go use the code GAMEAWARDS to get something.
High five.
It just said, I did mine earlier today, it just says code redeemed with an okay button. It doesn't tell you what's in it.
I assume it gets you a pack of Dragon's Maze.
No, it gets you a small amount of like tournament staple cards that aren't, I don't think, rare or mythic. It's just like, here, have some cards that are good. Somebody figured it out and tweeted a list, but the fact that it just says code redeemed and doesn't tell you anything, and nowhere where it tells you to use this code, does it tell you what you get? Like I said, we had to rely on some rando on Twitter who figured it out. So
Thank you, Mando.
Not the best user experience.
Yeah, as Stark Maximum put it on the in the Manipool Discord server, even when Wizards gives me free stuff, they don't even do it right. Which in this case, I agree. That's kind of silly. We're like, code redeemed. Okay. So, okay. Next paragraph. Tabletop events, now formerly known as Pro Tours, will be called Mythic Championships, just like the Signature Arena Championships. Ooh. Increased prize pool. Each Tabletop Mythic Championship in 2019 will award $500,000 in prizes. What it says somewhere else is that that prize money goes all the way down to last place. There's a reason for that. We'll cover that when we get there. But everybody at a Mythic Championship gets some amount of prize money. So that's cool. Let's see. Players in the MPL will be ranked based on points earned via high finish. Okay, so this is just to do with the MPL. Challenger players will be ranked... Okay, here we go. Keeping the MPL players on their toes and leaving room for newcomers to take their places at the top. We're not sure if that means there will be people moving in and out of the Magic Pro League over the course of a year. We don't know. Hmm. Again, we don't know.
The word challenger appears twice in this article.
Yeah.
And it neither case explains who that is.
Correct.
I'm going to assume that it's a silhouette from Smash Brothers.
Or Street Fighter 2, depending.
Oh, that's true. Either way, don't get punched. Still against the rules.
So, okay. Let me show you some blast from the past here. Boom. September 6th, 2018. 2019 to feature 6 Pro Tours. Hey, look, 6 Pro Tours. Remember we talked about that? Yeah, we did. It was awesome. And then in October 4th. All right. This is when they did the Magic Fest announcement and they told us how to qualify for the Pro Tour, right? Right. Here's how you qualify for the 6 Pro Tours. Remember that? We talked about that too. So that's September.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I remember that.
And then October. And then in December, they go, well, about that. Well, there's actually only 4 Pro Tours, but there aren't any Pro Tours. There's 4 Mythic Championships.
Championships, yeah.
So, yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth and Sydney are no longer.
I mean, what chance has Sydney ever had?
Against Drop Bears? None.
I mean, it's doomed.
So this is where we come to my first real problem with this, is that this had to be in the works. You don't come up with something big like this in, like, 2 weeks.
No.
So this had to at least be a gleam in someone's eye, or someone was starting to talk about it, when the first announcement was made in September.
Yeah.
And then in October, they gave us more information, and then in December, they were like, oh, just kidding. And that worries me.
That's understandable. A lot has changed in our understanding of what's going on in Magic over the last 2 months. Like, across a lot of areas.
But
this is a very big shift with very little notice.
And the fact that that announcement was allowed to be made with this had to be in the works in September, right?
For the level of stuff that they have going on here, I would assume that if it wasn't in the works, then a lot of these ideas were sitting around and they were still finalizing it. In which case, maybe the original plan was to roll all of the stuff out at a later point in time. Because if you remember, they only gave us the events for the first half of 2019. They didn't give us the whole thing.
Well, except for the 6 Pro Tours.
Well, I mean, they told us that there would be, they told us there'd be 6 Pro Tours, but they didn't, list them all out.
But yes, they did.
Initially.
Yes,
in the
they
first
did.
Announcement.
Yes, they did.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Like I say, you wanna...
it's right here on screen.
I can't read that.
Cleveland, London, Dallas, Barcelona, Richmond, Sydney, all with dates.
Okay. Why did I think that...
Soon afterwards, there was... in November. In November! It wasn't... no! Oh my god! In November, they updated it because the Sydney one was... The Brisbane one was moved to Sydney. That's a month ago!
Yeah, I really thought that they'd only announce half the year for this originally. Okay.
No, the Magic Fests, they only announced the first half.
That's what I was...
Yeah,
that makes more sense. Okay.
So that means as recently as November 8th, because it was originally Brisbane. Yeah, I remember that now. So less than a month before this big esports announcement, they moved it from Brisbane to Sydney.
Yeah.
914 kilometers.
But...
And now that's moot.
And now it's just canceled. Like, Cap asks, when did they announce the Game Awards announcement? I don't remember. Somebody dig that up in chat, if you would, please.
When did they announce that they were going to announce the Game Awards announcement?
That is what Cap just asked, yeah.
No. I'm saying, when did they announce that they were going to announce the Game Awards announcement? I'm going back one further, because they have this habit of telling us that they're going to have an announcement, then having the announcement that is just an announcement of more announcements.
I think you're trying too hard, Clues. Okay.
Or are they not trying hard enough?
No one's arguing that. So, I know I'm dwelling on this a long time, but that means up to a month before, they were still operating under the assumption that there were 6 Pro Tours. What teams are in charge of the original announcement and this big esports announcement, and why aren't they talking to each other?
That's... why I think that odds are the plan shifted or was pushed ahead sooner than
Actually, I'm gonna go with Squee on this one. This feels like these were the thing that we see now with the Mythic Championships and the arena and the changes and all that kind of stuff. This all feels like a thing that they were planning on doing all along. They just weren't planning on doing it yet. And I feel like the timetable got just dialed up. They're like, you know what? Let's just do it now.
I mean, if they didn't do it now, they couldn't do it until the next year, because they can't just change like the Pro Tour in the middle.
Oh, can't they?
I mean, they could. They did. But... Oh, Cap said it was on November 9th. Are you serious?
Wait a minute.
So on November 8th.
They
moved it from Brisbane to Sydney, and then the next day they announced that there was going to be a huge announcement at Game Awards. You see my problem here? This feels all slapped together. Or there are two completely separate teams who are working really hard to make this the best, and they weren't communicating at all, which, given my experience in any form of corporate America, is how it works. There are two giant teams that don't talk to each other, and then they come out and butt heads.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, I just want everyone to understand what my concerns are here, and I think I've gotten that across. So, okay. Let's just move on. Invitations to Cleveland and London remain as previously announced. Dates and details for the Arena Mythic Championships, as well as the other two Mythic Championships, will be released as the qualifying season for each begins. So, if you want to qualify for the Arena ones via Arena, you might as well go ahead and get started now and start ranking up. Yes, we saw that, Pharmacist Judge, but we'll get to that later.
Soon.
We think.
Okay, here it is. Yeah, the increased prize pool will extend down to last place, so that every player who competes will receive prize payout. Right. But then, this is probably why. Tabletop Mythic Championships after London will not offer travel awards. Presumably, the prize payout is going to replace that, presumably, in their mind, as far as where the money goes.
Yeah, that is the theory.
Yeah, and before anyone said, well, what if it's far? We don't know. We don't know how much last place is going to get. We don't know, okay? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know the breakdown. We don't know how viable it is. And it's one of those things that, like, I've got a lot of views on this, but without that information, I would be spewing on no facts, and that's not really going to be helpful. So I will ease up on that, but it is something I'm paying attention to. Because, as noted, there are 4 of these Mythic Championships. 2 of them are in America. Mm-hmm. One of them is in London. One of them is in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And as a global game, that's kind of rough when you take out the travel. So we have to pay very close attention to where the bottom of the prize payout is going to be, with the mindset of the people who are not local to any of these areas. or for the ones who qualify for one and are not in that immediate geographical region. So right, until we know the numbers, we don't know how mad to be, but it's something to pay attention to when we get them.
Clues, did you really not hear his audio just spike right there in the middle of a word?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think I heard it kind of clip. I think he like dropped a syllable, but
okay. Weird. So listeners, since you guys hear what I hear, I apologize for that. I don't know what the hell's going on with Bill's audio. So also
it's the horns, dude.
You remember they announced because there were six that they were going to narrowly like invites would be regional. That's not the case anymore because two of the six were canceled. And yeah, as pointed out, one of them is the only one in the Southern Hemisphere. So,
well, wait, isn't there another thing that came out that the qualifying for these events, rather than qualifying for the next one, you will qualify for the one nearest you?
That is not the case anymore.
Yeah,
no,
that
no,
was
I mean,
the idea,
that was
though.
A thing today that
yeah,
talked
we're not
about
we're
that.
Not there yet though.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Was that today?
I thought it was today. That's when I heard about it.
We'll see when we get to it.
All right. So, in addition to the Mythic Invitational and Mythic Championships, they're going to have prize pool set aside to partner with independent organizers who want to host arena esports and tabletop competitive events. So apparently, the Grand Prix circuit held at Magic Fests, run by Channel Fireball Events, is now an independent circuit. Am I reading that right?
There's a lot of words in this.
Yep.
And I don't like how they're connected.
Nope. But like it gives you that first sentence about partnering with independent organizers. Then it mentions the $2.5 million prize pool for the GP circuit. Then the next sentence is, we look forward to announcing more partner events. So I'm guessing Channel Fireball Events are now a partner instead of WotC running the Grand Prix circuit.
Oh, but okay.
This is all semantics at this point, because we don't know.
I found the thing I was thinking of, and it was actually published on December 6th.
Is that the article by Elaine Chase?
It's the article. No, this is from a WPN announcement.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I've got that up too. Okay.
Okay. Well, then you want to talk about that now or later?
I'm just going through this first.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, then we get the World Championship at the end of the year, featuring the most accomplished Magic players of the year across Arena and Tabletop. More news on the World Championship to come. In other words, they're probably going to be playing Arena. Let's be real.
It is a lot more visually friendly for streaming.
It's true.
Than paper. I mean Tabletop.
I mean Paper Top.
I mean Table.
Yeah. So, of course, with this massive restructure, we have to lose some things. We're losing Nationals, which we've lost Nationals before, whatever.
Yeah. It's like we got the hype of it coming back for a short time, and now it's gone.
Yeah. The World Magic Cup this year's will be the last one.
For now.
So, Wizards has a tendency to
roll
back
stuff.
Savor that
coming weekend if you look forward to it.
All we're willing to say for sure is there will not be a World Magic Cup in 2019.
Correct. Now, so that's this weekend, so anyone who's interested in that, you better go watch it.
Yeah.
The Pro Tour Team Series thing that was part of the Pro Tour is this will be the last one. The one that's currently ongoing, right? 2018 to 19, that's this one.
Think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, considering we only had, 2 years of that? And while it sounded like a neat idea, I really don't think that it had the impact they wanted.
I think it was something that people liked the idea of having teams to root for, because most people would not actually be able to be in the team series in any meaningful sense. And now that they're pushing for having these 32 Magic players that you follow like week to week, that role is shifting. So, would be my guess.
Yeah. So, again, it was a cool idea. I was really hyped for it, but then it wasn't for me because I don't watch Magic tournaments.
Yeah.
So, but I loved the idea, but apparently it just didn't pan out, so getting rid of that. So then there's the Pro Players Club.
You know the one.
Yeah, you know, silver, gold, platinum, all of that.
The thing that they sometimes refer to as a train.
So, now this trips me out. The players in the MPL, remember that's Magic Pro League, have already shifted over to the new model, which includes them rescinding their Pro Club benefits in favor of their new contracts, which go well above and beyond the old system. Does that mean that...
You know.
Does that mean that the players have already been contacted and signed the contracts and stuff?
I think it has to.
I would assume so. That's what this definitely implies.
I'm amazed so that
as
all
far
of
as
them...
the players who are in the MPL, someone already knows, and it at least 30. I'm going to say at least 33 people know. The 32 players themselves, plus whoever had them sign these contracts.
So yeah, for the pro players that aren't those 32, so for everyone else, earned benefits will be granted through the end of 2019. So anything that you've already got, you'll have until the end of like next year. The last event that will give out pro points will be GP Seattle, which I'm going to guess is this year, since it doesn't specify. Hang on. No. GP Seattle is... Here we go, in June of 2019.
Okay, then.
Okay, so you've got until June of 2019 to rack up those pro points.
And that's probably because the... of the new rolling pro player thing, pro club, where your benefits happen for 6 months or something, that the pro players were all upset about. It's probably because of that.
Could be.
So it goes up until that stops mattering, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, after GP Seattle, pro points will be frozen. Okay, okay. Tabletop Mythic Championships will include qualification slots for players who did well in previous Tabletop Mythic Championships. So I guess if you top something, a previous Pro Tour, you can get into the next one, to put that in modern terms?
Presumably.
We assume the top something?
Yeah.
And then for the Magic Pro Tour Hall of Fame, 2019 will be the last year of qualification and voting as you know it. When we get to voting season, we will have a new Magic Hall of Fame structure to unveil. Which means we've got one more year to get Chris Pakula in before everything goes to hell.
You want to bet it's a much more closed circuit of voting in the future.
That would not surprise me. Also, pro players aren't going to, or the Hall of Famers aren't going to get invites anymore. I think they've said elsewhere.
I can believe that. I mean, it's one of those weird things where if you cut off access to it, then keeping it as a legacy thing seems kind of iffy.
Yeah. And the fact that Hall of Famers get like all of the perks involving free tournaments always seemed kind of questionable once in a while, depending on
them being around was kind of a publicity thing, and again they're shifting the focus of who you should be paying attention to, so
exactly. Yeah, especially since some of the Hall of Famers apparently have some skeletons in their closet and are free to go to events forever.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be taking a lot more control over this, and it's going to be a little bit less watch everyone complain on Twitter for 2 weeks around voting and pulling out the same arguments they do every year. So we'll find out more of that whenever they tell us, because this is a broad overview with vague terms of everything.
Yeah, so this is very dense, and there's a lot of information here. And even though there's a lot of information here, we still don't know anything, which is very strange. But
yeah,
there's a lot of big picture stuff here, not a lot of specifics. So let's go over here where we have a smaller, like, more bite-sized announcement. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's hit the high notes here. They're integrating Magic Arena into competitive Magic, right? $10 million prize pool, right. Okay. The new system provides lucrative opportunities for pros, players, sponsors, and esports partners. Dang. That's important.
Yeah.
For the business model.
That's going to be a very different business model than what they've had so far.
Yes. Okay, we've got the top 32 things of Magic Pro League, right? The Mythic Invitational, right? This is word for word what was in the last one, but now it's in a bullet point. So the Mythic Championships, right? And then partner tournament events, where again, the GP circuit held at Magic Fest, run by Channel Fireball Events, is listed. So, okay. It could be that, like, Wizards will sponsor... Like, hypothetically, this is almost certainly not going to happen, but it, hypothetically speaking, the way this is worded, that means that, like, for instance, the Star City Games, opens could theoretically, what was that?
It's what happens when you say Star City Game opens.
Okay, sorry, I just heard something come from that direction, but I don't know what it was. Anyway, could theoretically, become partner events. I kind of doubt it because I think SCG likes their autonomy. But I'm just saying that is the way this is worded. That is a thing that could happen. You know, like the TCG whatever events could become partner events.
Since it says they're looking forward to announcing more partner events, especially esports events featuring MTG Arena, I think they're leaving themselves a bit of a path there if they want to take the path taken by so many other esports and trying to do network things, like actually having things run with TV coverage and other stuff like that as a long-term goal.
Yeah, like
Magic has been on TV before. It's not unprecedented.
It also wasn't good.
Sure. That is also not unprecedented.
It's true. But what this probably means is that, like, at DreamHack whatever 2019, there could be an arena event, is what I'm thinking.
They're leaving a lot of flexibility here after consolidating who could run official tournament so much over time.
Yeah. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, I don't know, Tempo Storm did an arena tournament somewhere, sometime, you know, that sort of thing. So there you go. That's the smaller bite-sized version that has for the not completely enfranchised players. So if you want to share this with someone who's not a Magic person, this is the link to use.
This is the easier one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it also doesn't go through and explain all the things that went away or what all these terms mean, because they assume you don't have that backstory. So kind of nice.
So then we've got, you'll notice up here at the top of the Magic website, there's now an esports tab.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you click on it, it takes you here. This is also mtgesports.com. With the really cheesy 90s as all hell announcement trailer.
It feels like it should be sponsored by Fruit Roll-Up, Capri Sun, and Trapper Keepers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Trapper Keepers?
They're still around. For that.
But, yeah, we've got a little Mythic Championships thing that gives you a little blurb. We've got the Game Awards code that gives you a little piece of some card images that might be the cards you get.
I like how many of these things look like links but aren't.
Yes.
And then we've got you can tell that this was the skeleton of a page that they hadn't built all the content for yet.
Oh, totally. We've got the little blurb about the Magic Pro League. And then more details to come. With the countdown to the Mythic Invitational at PAX East, which is 108 days, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Plan accordingly.
So that is what the mtgesports.com looks like right now. So then this
I like WPN, the open beta banner under it.
Oh, yeah, and the fact... Oh, God. And the fact that this is all this focus is on Arena, which is still in beta.
Yep.
And at least, according to the last time Cat played, still has... like weird crash issues, doesn't have a friends list.
Apparently, it really feels like they jumped a year ahead on the plan.
Apparently the ladder system is a joke.
All of this feels like it's a thing that they were planning on doing and it got moved way up.
Yeah, which is also not unprecedented given the discussion about Ultimate Masters that we've had before. More on that later, by the way.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now we have this WPN Wizards Play Network event about the Mythic Championship qualifiers. Is this the one you had clues?
Let me see it now. It's December 6th, that is not the one. No, that is not the one.
Cool. Well, if there's stuff outstanding after we read this, you can bring up yours.
Yeah, go find that link and drop it in a chat somewhere, or preferably the Twitch chat so I can see it, and we'll open that up. So, yeah, people are wondering how this affects the store level. So, in 2019, they're going to be doing Mythic Championship qualifiers. But before they start taking applications from WPN's member stores, they're going to handpick stores to host the first round of qualifier events. Because apparently this is all new.
So,
they're going to start...
I don't really blame them for that.
No, not at all. They're going to start with their best stores and go from there and collect feedback and this and that and the other.
I suspect they're going to be aiming for the stores that have a track record for both the ability to handle larger groups and also for the ability to be patient with them when things inevitably explode.
Right.
because those are both big priorities when you're rolling out something brand new that a lot of people are already stressed out about.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that is how this affects the local level, is because PTQs, PPTQs, and RPTQs will be no more. Instead, they're going to be MCQs, and that's all we know.
Which, I gotta say, I always felt that the PPTQ, RPTQ, PTQ nonsense, I always felt that that was kind of a kludge job anyway.
QQ.
Yeah. So let's see what this link is from Clues. Competitive MTG 2019, Mythic Championship, Magic Fest, and more. Okay. So, okay, this is what we just talked about, the invite-only qualifiers. Wait, no. These will be similar to the PTQs that we retired in 2015 with a few important differences aimed at creating a better play experience. Events will be invite-only, with an attendance cap set by Wizards, and players will earn their invitation through play in stores like yours. I wonder if they're going to try to make the store championships matter.
Read the next sentence.
Open qualifiers run by select tournament organizers.
The next sentence. More details to come.
Oh.
All of this is the sketch of an outline of a possible thing. I don't know. Anyway,
so this is on the back of the napkin at the restaurant, in other words. Yeah.
We are gazing through a telescope into a daguerreotype.
Sure. So then we've got the open qualifiers. Some Mythic Championship qualifiers will be open to the public with no attendance cap. These are going to be more like PTQs, I assume. Open to the public, no attendance cap, hosted by professional event organizers selected by Wizards. Yeah, these feel like PTQs at Magic Fests, probably. Yeah. That sort of thing.
Well, look at where the ones that are currently announced are happening. The next
this
box
looks familiar.
The next, no, that's the Pro Tours.
No, that's the tabletop. Oh, you're right. That is.
Yeah. See, because all the words changed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It totally looked like they were telling us when those open qualifiers would happen. They'd happen at these. No.
These are the actual former Pro Tours.
Yeah. Okay. But no, this next part is the one that I was getting to.
Yes. Player can still qualify. Screen. Via Grand Prix, the only...
Which, by the way, Grand Prix will now be the main event at Magic Fest, since we're rebranding Grand Prix as well.
But they're still going to be called Grand Prix, right? Didn't they say that? Yeah, okay.
Yes, but you're probably going to hear events referred to as the Magic Fest event. The Grand Prix is just a part of it.
Right.
The tabletop.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so the only substantial change to how players earn their berth. God, they keep using the word berth.
It's creepy when they say it.
It is. Earn their invite via Magic Fest is that they'll generally qualify for a Mythic Championship in the same region in which they qualified, rather than whichever championship happens to be next on the calendar. So,
right.
That doesn't help for the people in other parts of the world, but I guess you get to pick which one if you're somewhere far away?
Unknown.
Details to come.
We also
more details to come.
This is something that was pointed out in the Discord server. We don't know. So you remember there was a Pro Tour Brisbane? No, a Pro Tour Sydney with an accompanying Magic Fest?
Yep.
We don't know if the Magic Fest was canceled or if it was just the Pro Tour. I guess we could go.
Someone must know.
Hang on. Let's go back to the schedule and see if it's listed under 2019.
I mean, if you want fun, if you go to the CFB events page, they've still got Sydney up.
Oh, look. What's the date on that?
On what?
The Sydney.
February 1 to 3.
Oh. Okay, what about Dallas-Fort Worth?
Hold on. I'm jumping between the different continents because it's how they sort them.
Damn it.
So this is their list of...
Oh, you know what? I just got it right here. Okay. Sydney is December. So I don't know what Sydney you're... No, that's
yeah,
a GP.
Yeah, it's because I pulled out the Magic Fest list. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So here we go. Magic Fest at... Right? Magic Fest at Dallas-Fort Worth is June. When was the canceled... Is in June. So these events are still listed on the 2019 schedule. But then this one still says Brisbane, which was moved to Sydney. So now nobody knows. Like, even the official tournament schedule is probably wrong and lying to you.
It's cool. I'm not on Channel Fireball events.
Hotel rooms. I didn't hear what you just said. What?
It's cool. You're not relying on it to buy hotel rooms and tickets or take time off or anything.
Yeah, no. Clearly. So yeah, I'm not on Channel Fireball events. I'm on the Magic.
Yeah.
The Magic page. So again, this is more information that is just not being coordinated between multiple teams. Like, they had the new version of the Magic front page ready to go when they made the announcement. This went live. Like, this was here immediately. But they haven't bothered to change this tournament schedule, even though this was changed a month ago.
So, you know how in the past I have complained, lamented, like an old man yelling at a cloud, I have complained that the information that WotC gives us comes from far too many disparate sources.
Correct.
You know, things will be announced on somebody's Tumblr and maybe on somebody else's Instagram and maybe the official Pro Tour. No, wait, MPL Twitter feed will have something. I feel like a lot of this feels that same way, that there's all kinds of information about how all this works. And if only Wizards of the Coast had, oh, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, their own website where they could just lay out the schedule of all of these events, like, clearly and easily found. I think that would be amazing, is what I would like. But it's definitely not what we have here. When you've got it fragmented like this, when a change happens, getting it fixed in all of those places is crazy difficult. And it leads to confusions. So I'm going to just go buy tickets to Brisbane so that I can be at the Grand Fest, the Magic Pre.
That's the one.
Yeah, the Magic Pre.
Yeah.
And I'm taking some Dunkaroos with me.
Like, it's a real problem. And the fact that, like, I could understand if the Channel Fireball events page was not up to date, but this is on the Wizards website.
Yeah, they don't have an excuse because they're the only ones who are guaranteed to have known all of this was happening because they had to post the rest of it. It's a very sloppy rollout for what is arguably the biggest Magic news in the last decade.
At least for professional Magic.
Yes. Yeah, for this capacity. I mean, not until they finally get around to telling us that the cards are actually made of crack will we have bigger news.
Yeah.
They'll never admit that.
Clues, could you drop this link that you gave us in the show notes too?
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. So I can close this and not have to worry about it.
I like the fact that they haven't updated the other parts of the website that deal with things like the Pro Club and all that stuff yet. And it feels like since they've got a, you know, finite duration, that's probably on the to-do list and will probably be updated with the rest of the details we're looking for.
Probably, yeah.
But having coordinated, like, for my job, big announcement things like this before, you typically have everything ready to go at the same time. And you launch it all at the same time to avoid exactly this confusion. So, again, feels kind of rushed.
Now, so what's the takeaway? Yes, the announcement is rushed. And yes, everything is wonky. But let's go to our takeaways from this. So, Bill, here we go. Bill ran a Twitter poll.
Yeah.
On the 7th, so the next day after this announcement was made.
It was
right?
The morning after this announcement.
All right, and this is what he said. What's your gut reaction? Very positive, cautiously optimistic, uncomfortable, very negative. Now, granted, we only have 67 votes, but...
Yeah. And because Twitter only gives you four options, I could not put in a neutral response, which is unfortunate, because I would like to have that.
But still... 60% of these 67 people said cautiously optimistic, 12 said very positive. So that's 72% of these people on the plus side of things, with only 28 on the minus side of things. Which is oddly impressive, because Magic players hate news, and hate change, and whenever anything changes, they grab torches and pitchforks. We know, we talk about it every damn week.
And admittedly, this is also the sample size of people that follow the three of us on Twitter, since the two of them retweeted it. So
correct.
We may have also just got a nicer slice of the community because you guys are great.
We do have a nicer slice of the community.
But I was just looking for how well other people were taking that news immediately after, because I wasn't going to get another chance to see how people were immediately reacting before all the echo chambers kicked in on social media.
Correct. So then, what, yesterday?
Yesterday.
So yesterday he had another poll. Explain this one real quick.
Okay, so my thinking on it was, when I saw the conversations, a lot of them were boiling down to, so given all this focus on Arena, like, is Arena going to become the main focus? Is paper slash tabletop going to be, you know, phased out? Like, some people were saying really extreme stuff, like, oh yeah, they're just going to stop. And other people are like, well, they'll still do it, but most of the attention's going to be on Arena. And some people are like, no, 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 paper always. And so I'm like, okay, let's just straight up. What direction do you think best describes the likely future priorities of Magic? Like, from the standpoint of Wizards and the community in general. So the first option I put in there was, you know, paper will always be the biggest priority, or at least immediately the biggest priority, and then Arena. And then I put MTGO in at the end of all of these. Again, limitations for options. I assume that Arena is going to get more attention than MTGO. That could be a bias in my sample. So I put that one in there as the first option. That one got 27%. That was also the biggest response. And since there's four of them here, that's pretty telling about what we're about to find. Second option I put in there would be that Arena would get more prioritization over paper, and they would both still be higher than MTGO. And that was at 25. So a 2% difference between paper first, then Arena, or Arena first, then paper. Third option was for paper and Arena to both be essentially equally weighted and, again, living over Magic Online. And that was at 26%, so right in the middle. And the final option, 22% of people thought that paper would stay on top and Arena and MTGO would both be kind of on the same level of digital Magic. And I wanted to know where people thought this was going. I find it really interesting that we have near identical scores out of the 107 people who voted for paper over Arena, or Arena over paper, or they're going to be the same. And not much of a jump down to the traditional view that paper is going to be the biggest priority, with digital all being kind of in the same pile. So I thought that was just interesting all around. And again, I acknowledge that I may be biasing things by just assuming that MTGO is going to be a smaller focus next to Arena.
I don't think that's, but I think that's evidence-based.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's not like I'm pulling that out of personal preference. It's just based on everything that I've seen that looks to be the case. Like, they're focusing on Arena. They're putting prize money in Arena. MTGO is not mentioned at all in that entire article that we just went over, and it had a lot of text in it, so they had the space.
Yeah, because online PTQs are still a thing, right? Like, as of right now.
As of this moment, they are.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I have seen no announcement. Now, mind you, they have not made any Magic Online announcements since this thing on Thursday, because those go up on Tuesday.
Right.
So I may have more news on this tomorrow, but you should probably check that yourself if you're really interested in that news immediately. Assuming we get anything at all, which could be a big assumption. I know that a lot of people are freaking out about the future of Magic Online right now. So while they didn't come out and say they were going to axe it or anything, the lack of a reinforcement to the positive of its, you know, ongoing survival and support is making some people nervous. And I'm going to hope that WotC says something in the near future, because a lot of people have a lot of money tied up in Magic Online. For a lot of people, that's how they play Magic.
A significantly less number of people these days.
Yes, less, but it was the option that was available if you want to draft at any time of the day. Well, it's the option that's available if you're in a remote place and if you can't play Arena or don't want to.
The reason I say a significantly less number of people now is because they actually... Is there anything... Yeah, here it is. I thought I had... Oh, there's the link. Okay, I already had it open. Yeah, Card Hoarder, who is one of the biggest, like... they run the bot. They run a bunch of bots, essentially.
Yeah.
On Magic Online, posted that because so many people were selling out, they've actually frozen their collection and ticket purchases until this, like, sellout frenzy dies off. And they're confident that it will die off, and this is just a bunch of knee-jerk reaction people.
They're essentially doing what some governments do when they see the possible collapse of an economy by saying stop.
Yeah, they step in, they pump the brakes.
Like, yeah. Just wait.
Now, I'm glad that they're confident, because I got to be honest, I'm not.
In fact, just to clarify, they put the brakes on December 7th. Today, December 10th, they've resumed buying collections and tickets. So they really just turned it off for the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, just long enough for all the people who went, they're shutting us down, to sell all their crap. Or who wanted to immediately sell all their crap, just for them to, like, calm down.
Yeah.
Deep breaths.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say, dude, I'm going to get into Magic Online, because right now it's a buyer's market.
That is definitely true.
Because
totally true, yeah.
Because, you know, supply and demand, supply shot through the roof, which means all the prices have gone down.
Supply grossly outnumbers paper supply for certain periods of time, because drafting is so heavy. And you could just draft a whole draft and liquidate all your cards to bots and then draft again using what you got out of the bots and repeat. So if you were interested in playing Magic Online even before, the cards were in most cases way cheaper than the paper ones. So where they're at right now, I haven't looked, but I can't imagine like things are that high, because if people don't have consumer confidence, it's going to go down. And with limitations and the ability to redeem sets, especially older sets, there's a lot of digital stuff out there that people don't feel comfortable sitting on. But if you actually want to play Magic Online, this is probably a great time.
And apparently this was triggered by an article on Channel Fireball. It says the CFB article that triggered this anxiety was full of misleading indicators and poor arguments, but the article's effect has been very real and cause for much concern.
did you see the article? Because I think I know which one it is.
I don't pay any attention to Channel Fireball articles, so no.
Okay, fair enough.
But what was it?
It had to do with the continual decline of MTGO prices, and that you can see a definite trend. Okay. The article claims you can see a definite trend since everything involving Arena has occurred, and that it's just been a steady decline, and the implication was that that's pretty much just going to continue. Let me see if I can find it. Stand by.
I think I did see that, actually, now that I think about it.
I know that, like, I didn't read it, but I've seen people throwing things up, which maybe in that article, maybe in something else. But I know that people have been waiting for them to say something about Magic Online dying for a long time now, because it's kind of a community meme that Magic Online is this terrible thing that's going to fall apart and explode. And they've done an amazing job the last few years to both make it stable and greatly improve the turnaround time of new set releases and, you know, the support of things. But over time, they've also shifted more towards phantom events rather than getting cards that you redeem. And they started, you know, putting in timelines for redemption as, you know, products go out of print and other stuff. And I think even without any of this going on, people are always waiting for someone to throw another reason to think it's going to die out there. But it's a lot easier to believe when you see WotC pushing Arena so much harder than I think a lot of people thought they were going to.
So, Chewy, I put a link to that article.
I did see this article. Yeah. Hey, drop this in the show notes, too, if you would, please.
Can do.
Yeah, this is Florian Koch, who is a German player, I want to say. That's probably wrong. Now that I've said it out loud, it doesn't sound right.
A writer on Channel Fireball.
But yeah, he's a pro player, or at least a former pro player, and at the very least, I don't keep track of who still plays on the Pro Tour and whatnot these days, unless they finish high, and I haven't had to say his name in a long time. But anyway, yeah, this is, boom, an article about how everything is horrible and everything's dying, and yeah.
Yeah, and it appears from the article that what really drove him to write this is MTGO Traders puts out a number that is the price of a complete playset of MTGO, which I assume that's the plot that you're showing. Nope, you're not. Oh, you went down to the bottom of the article. Yeah, if you show that plot. That plot, that's what that's showing. That if you wanted to go and just buy a complete playset of all of MTGO, what would it cost you? And that price has declined sharply over the past, looks like about 2 years. Yeah, the chart runs from September 2016 to October 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, you can draw a lot of conclusions if you're looking for them from this. I have not studied all the data or read this article. I will note that in general, the concept of getting value out of Magic Online has always been dubious, because it's a thing where there will always be more product made and things will very seldom go up in value. Like, it just isn't how it works. If people are constantly opening packs and those packs never really leave circulation, because unlike in paper Magic where you've got a giant binder full of stuff, or, you know, all the long boxes in your closet, in Magic Online, you go to a bot and you liquidate all your extra stuff. And then that bot adds them to its inventory and other people can go to the bot and buy them. So, like, nothing leaves. You only ever need four copies of any card across anything, because you can have duplicate decks. And so over the course of any given standard environment, everything becomes near worthless by the end of it. Once you've got a play set, it's pretty easy. The only time anything actually leaves the system would be when people would redeem entire sets for paper. And they put kind of over time up the cost of doing that from almost nothing at the beginning to there were fees, because people were essentially getting collections online and converting them to paper immediately rather than buying new products, because it was just a lot cheaper.
Can it be done at all anymore, or did they end that?
You can still redeem stuff, just not all product is redeemable.
Right.
Now that phantom drafting is more of a thing, there's a lot less of the stuff running around, and there is a shelf life for how long you can redeem a set, and it's a lot shorter than it was before. So redemption is not nearly the big thing it used to be.
Yeah, and redemption was there because when, quick history lesson, when Wizards decided that they wanted to do a Magic Online thing, it was unheard of.
Like, yeah, there
was why would anybody spend real money on cards that weren't real that you didn't own? Nowadays,
the Magic Online digital objects.
Yeah, exactly. But nowadays, that's the norm.
Yeah, but we live in a world of a hat-based economy.
I guess you pay $20 for a hat in a game, yeah.
What I'm thinking more card games, but yeah, sure. But like back then, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't have worked because people wanted something. So they had to tie it to the real world economy by offering redemptions, which would make people go, oh, this has real world value, physical value. Because if I get all these, I can trade them in and get the cards, and then I can sell the cards and get more money. Like, and that was how they made it viable. Nowadays, it just isn't necessary and doesn't work and is dumb.
Yeah.
So, which is why things like Hearthstone and all these other card games are a thing, and why Magic Arena is now a thing, and why they're trying to phase out, my opinion is that they're trying to phase out that side of Magic Online, and Magic Online will be more for, as we said a few weeks ago, they made, at the end of a Magic Online update, they were like, yeah, Magic Online is a place to play Modern and Legacy and crazy Phantom Drafts and Cube stuff and all this other stuff that's not standard and not draft. Those two things weren't mentioned. And we actually called attention to it and said, this is what their plan is. Arena will be where you play standard and do drafts. And then Magic Online will be everything else.
Except extended.
Everything else that is real, Clues.
Hey, man, this is what we like to call foreshadowing.
Just because the question was brought up, right now, pulling up the current redemption schedule, if you wanted to redeem Core Set 2019, which, as you know, just came out this year, not that long ago, the guarantee date, like the redemption reprint guarantee date, was the 21st of November. And the final cutoff date, or essentially, as long as they have product, they'll support it, is the 26th of December.
Wow.
That's for Core Set 2019. For Guilds of Ravnica, you've got till February 20 for, you know, reprint guarantee date, and then the 27th of March is when they cut it off. So
you're talking 5-6 months from when a set releases in paper?
It's about 6 months.
Yeah, okay.
You got about a six-month shelf life, whereas before, it was until they ran out of product. So they've slowly been easing this back.
Yeah. Because the reason that they can't just scrap Magic Online and move everything over to Arena is because they tied it into the real world economy, and lots of people have like businesses and whatnot built around it, and massive collections and all of that. And it's because they tied it to the real world economy, it's got a big do not touch stamp on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like they made some decisions a long time ago that made sense to ensure the viability of a thing.
If you're about to say choices. The R-list word, I will throw rocks at you.
And that those choices have unforeseen consequences down the road. It's almost like this has happened before. That's all I'm saying. I'm not bringing up, you know, skeletons from closets like the reserved list.
Damn it, Clues.
You should mail him a rock with a note that says throw at face.
I'll mail it to Jen. It'll be fine.
There you go. She'll do it.
She will. Yeah.
That's but yeah, so Magic Online, again, I put it at the end of all of my poll questions because it wasn't mentioned in any of this. And it's kind of this vestigial thing from, you know, Magic going to the internet in an era before online games work the way that they kind of do everywhere now. And so I assumed, and this is an assumption because they didn't say anything, that over time, as Arena grows, Magic Online will get further sidelined until they ultimately make some announcement, which will be, you know, we're going to phase this out and you have until this date to do something with it. That might be 10 years from now, just to clarify. I'm not saying go make a run and liquidate all your stuff unless that's something you wanted to do anyway. If it is something you want to do, maybe wait a little bit, because if it bounces back even a little, there will be a better time to do this. But I would not read too far into what anyone says right now, because no one knows.
No one knows.
And that's a critical thing to get across. No one has secret information on this, because based on how disorganized WotC's rollout of this news is, 3/4 of the people who work at Wizards of the Coast probably don't know what's going on. And
it seems like a low estimate.
Like, yeah, it's just one of those things. 3/4 of the people who tell you they know what's going on don't know what's going on. And the fourth one is going to shut up. So this is my optimism about 1 in 4 people shutting up. But regardless, I'm just saying for right now, I was operating on the assumption that people were going to take this news as Arena is now the front, or tabletop/paper continues to be the front, or they'll try to balance these things. My personal view is that they're going to balance these things because they mentioned them both in the context of everything.
Yeah.
And based on how successful Arena is, they will then skew in one direction or the other.
Okay, but that's what I was going to say.
Either way, I don't foresee them deciding, you know what? Awkward interface Magic Online with all of its baggage, that's where the future is. So that's why I put that at the back. But until anyone actually has real news more than that, it's entirely emotions and not logic.
Yeah, you know what's really great? Rigid airships, dirigibles, they're definitely the future.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic, lots of people have been spouting, like, nonsense on social medias that are, you know, extreme examples to gain clicks. In this case, I'm in person personally talking about Evan Irwin, who said, in 2020, there will be no tabletop tournaments anymore. And shut up.
Specifically, I think he offered to take an irresponsible bet to a lot of people. And I have a feeling there will not be delivery on that.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember exactly what he said there wouldn't be tabletop of.
Oh, would you like to hear it? I think I've got it up in a tab.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Stand by. Let's see here. Nope, that was the cancellation due to weather. Okay, here is a tweet from Evan Irwin from the 7th of December. Gonna go ahead and call it. I'm betting there are 0 paper Mythic Championships in 2020. Just wait until you see the impact and viewership numbers for Arena Championships versus Paper Championships. It will be a very easy argument to make.
Maybe he's being tricksy because there won't be any paper championships. There will be tabletop championships. He's just conning all of us.
Okay, so when I first read this, I still hadn't gotten the terminology down. So he's saying 0 paper Mythic Championships, which are Pro Tours.
Right. He's not saying no paper Grand Prix at Magic Fests. That's not what he's saying. He's saying no Magic Pro Tours in tabletop. which, to be honest with you, I'm not going to say he's crazy on this one.
I still think that's too fast.
It may be too fast. We can argue timing, but I think, have we entered the speculation part of the show? Because I have thoughts.
I mean, yeah, I think that's all of the actual news about the big event, so we might as well.
Yeah, more yeah. info.
Concerns and speculation and whatnot. I do know, before we get into speculation, some of the concerns I've seen are coming from judges.
That's fair, honestly.
Because yeah.
judges don't know what the hell they're going to be needed for on the local event, at the local level.
Somebody's got to push in chairs online.
But
so, Clue, speaking as a former judge,
yes,
how much experience do you have getting digitized?
Well, I did see the movie Tron.
Okay.
I also saw Tron Legacy.
Did you ever watch Captain Power?
Ooh, I did. I did.
Because getting digitized was a big bad thing in that show.
Have you ever considered joining a superhuman samurai cyber squad?
I have, actually, now that you mention it.
that might be the future for magic judges.
Excellent. Like I said, this is what I'm about to say is kind of pure speculation on my part, but I think there's a kernel of truth to what Evan Irwin is saying here. So let's just ask ourselves, why does Arena exist when MTGO is already there? And the answer is that Arena fulfills a different function than MTGO did. MTGO was trying its best to replicate the paper magic experience, for good or for ill. It was trying to essentially, like, one for one, completely replicate what you could do in paper for what you could do online. MTGO is like, well, that is way, way too crazy of a problem. Let's not do that. Instead, let's take the things that I'm going to say generate excitement for the most people. And I'm saying it that way because I know that there are hardcore vintage players, there are hardcore legacy players, there are hardcore modern players, and that nothing that ever happens in standard will replicate that, will never scratch that itch for those people. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not making a judgment about whether that's good or bad. It's just they decided with Arena, let's take the thing that generates buzz and excitement for the largest number of people, and that is standard, and that is drafting. Let's just do that, and let's just do it with cards that were designed, for lack of a better phrase, in the modern era. So cards that don't have a lot of weird, crazy interactions or strange rules that have to be coded for, like, one single card, except I'm looking at you, Karn. But let's do that. It's a solvable problem. It's much easier. Let's
try that don't care what order your graveyard is.
Right. It's a much smaller card pool. Let's do that. And let's make it fast. Let's make it flashy.
Pretty.
Let's make it pretty. And let's make it readable, because we now live in an era where we're making the product, the digital product, we're making that digital product not just for the players, but for the players and their audience at the same time, right? That's not really a thing that they were really thinking about when they designed MTGO. We didn't have streamers, you know, just we weren't tuning in just to watch someone play MTGO, at least not when it was originally devised. MTGO is for the end player. And then it could be slow and clunky. It could even be ugly as long as it was functional. But now they've made a product that is not that it has the esports idea in mind. So then we move to now, where we're talking about what are we going to do with these mythic championships, what were formerly pro tours. So part of the purpose of the pro tour is to be a spectacle, right? It's part of its function is, for lack of a better term, marketing or advertising. It is, in theory, the best players in the world playing what we, surely biased, feel is the best game in the world, and we need to make it something engaging and interesting, but you want it to be engaging and interesting not just to the hardcore fan, but, you know, if if they've got friends who are like, hey, I know you're into this magic thing. Why are you staying at home all weekend? Or why, what are you watching there on your cell phone while we're trying to have lunch? And you can go, oh, I'm watching these guys play magic, and you can show it to them and they can actually follow what's going on. It's not that there's some obscure full frame artwork that was printed once as an APAC promo that's on a table in an icon that is like, or in an image that is like 5 pixels across. And you're like, oh, that's obviously that card. No, you can just see it, right?
Yeah.
With MTG Arena, you can literally see the thing. And when a thing attacks, you're like, oh, why is that card sideways? What's it doing? Oh, it's not sideways anymore. It's 15 degrees. But look at that tap symbol that's on top of it. It means they can't use it anymore. They've already used it up. Or when your, you know, giant dragon appears and goes all something. Look, I've had limited experience with Arena. I assume that it does something. But it's flashy, right? And it's flashy for a reason.
That it is.
So... yeah. What are they going to do going forward? Are they going to go, you know what? We really like the MTGO. We like what it does. Let's push the MTGO. No, I don't really think they are, unless there's some major shift away from this like esport spectator side. Arena is, at least for the foreseeable future, the future of the esports aspect of Magic, because it does eliminate so many things that, as a Fayan in the chat just said, that make paper Magic tournaments, for lack of a better phrase, and I know I've used that like 4 times, but I didn't sleep a lot last night. I'm sorry. Vocabulary module did not install properly. That make them disengaging is the way I would describe it, because you know, you're watching, you'll tune into streaming coverage. And look, I'm not going to say we do this for a living. We do this for a passion. You know, we actually come and do this show every week. And every week I feel guilty for not watching coverage, because on the weekends I'm busy living life. I'm doing stuff. I'm out, you know, clubbing, living. No, I'm actually
clubbing seals, playing Destiny. I get you.
Doing really. Oh God, I've played so little Destiny. It's really killing.
I really thought you were going to apologize for the seals clues.
I haven't clubbed any seals. This weekend I went skiing. I went to the top of a mountain and I turned potential energy.
You turned around and went to the bottom of the mountain.
As slowly as I could, and then did it again. That's basically what it boils down to.
It's pronounced sheeing.
It is pronounced sheeing. That is absolutely correct. Although the conditions were gorgeous. Where was I going with that? I was saying something and I got totally derailed.
Oh, you were saying paper that magic they're is probably not going to go in the magic online direction.
Paper magic is disengaging as a spectator sport. If you had asked before Arena came out, okay, before Arena came out, if you'd said to me, Clues, is magic a spectator sport? I would go, no, God, that's awful. It's actually kind of awful. Unless you're actually already a player, it is boring as hell to watch because you can't tell what's going on. It's amazing to play. It's incredible to play, but it's boring as hell to watch if you don't know how to play already.
Caveat. I know how to play. I've been playing Magic for God only knows how many years. Yeah. I find tabletop Magic tournaments boring to watch anyway.
And they can be. They absolutely can be. I mean, some people will get, you know, I'm going to draw some ire here, but you know what? It's too late. Haven't slept enough. Don't really have the buffers to prevent myself from doing this. I find basketball to be a horrible spectator sport. I just don't care for it. Playing it's fine, but watching it, to me, it is boring as hell.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing for me. There are people who love it, and that's totally fine. I am not telling you that basketball sucks.
I mean, it's not baseball, like it. So, you know.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball anyway, is a sport for radio. I said it.
If you look at the mechanics of playing tabletop Magic, they are not conducive to being a spectator sport. There's lots of downtime. There's lots of no one's doing anything. You can't tell whose turn it is. You can't tell what the game state is. Even as a judge, you could walk up to a table and you could just stand there for like 30 seconds and not actually know whose turn it is. Now, at that point, you should probably step in and say, who's active player, and I'm going to need you to make a play. But still, at least with Arena, you could tell. At least Arena, you could go, oh, look, it's that guy's turn. And
you're making a very fair point that when it comes to paper Magic and Magic Online, for that matter, but especially paper Magic, you have to understand what all the cards do, and you have to have a good game sense, which is difficult to a game you've just walked up to. And you have to be able to get in the minds of both of the people playing to tell what's about to happen. Otherwise, it looks like someone drew the right card and won, and you have no context for how they got there.
Whenever it's like the end of an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Like, whenever we pull up these clips when something impressive happens at a Pro Tour or something, you kind of have to rewind a little bit to get the context for why this play is important. Because, like, oh, look, he drew the cool card. Like, yeah, but most of the time it was, you know, this pro maneuvered through these things, assuming they're going to get one of these six cards and played accordingly. And that's hard to follow when you know all of these things. It's impossible if you don't, and it's very boring to teach someone, especially while it's going on. They'll be like, that's nice, can we go do something else? Whereas most sports, like actual sports, you can pretty much go, okay, there's a ball or a puck or some other objective, and it needs to get to that place.
Yeah.
And we understand that. You don't know what a face mask penalty is. You don't know what icing is, but you know, thing gets you place, that's how you win.
And it gets even worse when you try and make that comparison with Magic, because even though there is, in theory, an objective that you're trying to get your opponent's life total to zero, there are entire decks and entire strategies that are completely off-label for that.
Yeah. So on that note, if we're making speculations, here's my big theory on all this. I think they're obviously going to continue doing paper/tabletop Magic, and they're going to continue doing tournaments for it. But what I do think we're going to see is the way that sets are built and the way that cards function are going to be leaning into what has good optics in Arena. I think it's actually going to impact the product that's made, because in the past, we've seen rules updates, card updates, various things done to facilitate Magic Online working. And I think that they're putting way more importance in Arena than they ever did in Magic Online for the purposes of an audience. So I wouldn't be surprised if we continued to see more of the big flashy creature Magic, because that's an effect that's going to stick around and people are going to see it on camera.
Yep.
We're probably going to see a lot less weird alternate win conditions unless they're really high optic. Like, I could see the whole like get 10 guild gates and assemble Exodia and win kind of stuff. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of these other weird things. And I very much foresee this being a thing where, in general, they're probably going to shift away from complicated corner case rules combos.
Yeah.
Because those are kind of what hounds most of the older formats. And I think it's going to be a lot more, I combat better than you, or I have the cool surprise thing, and a lot less, we just watched a mirror match of control and now everyone's miserable. I think they're going to actively change design to be more conducive to this environment.
I mean, we've already seen a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. I think we're already going in that direction, and I think this, like everything else, is just going to push it faster.
Well, cards going...
Yeah, so one I wanted to bring up that was off something Squee said about design and thinking about how it shows or plays in Arena. There are a lot of cards now, and I noticed this when I was playing like Planeswalker League at PAX Unplugged. There are a lot of cards now that are like, look at the top five cards of your library. You may reveal a land among them, blah, 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 and do something. But what you do with the other cards is really telling, because it says put the rest of them on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Because if you do it in any order, when you're doing it in paper, you don't have to worry about, oh, I forgot to shuffle these before I put them on the bottom. But if you say in any order and you're using a digital product, now it has to ask you. It has to say, what order do you want to put those in? Whereas if you say in a random order, it'll just put them in a random order for you, because that's what it does.
So we talked about this before. Someone asked Rosewater on his Tumblr, and he said, because this works better for digital.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, they've said that, and we called attention to it. I think Bill was the one who put that in the show notes. Is that they're already letting the digital side of things affect some aspects of card design, and that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's going to be the direction we go in. Now, as long as we have, you know, printed on dead tree Magic, there are going to be some things that they can't do. I was talking to Chewy about this when I was watching his stream the other day, and he was, you know, playing Hearthstone and watching Mike play Hearthstone. Because I don't play Hearthstone, but it's something that I can talk to the chat while it's running and vaguely follow what's going on. And the weird matchup that Mike was in, that Chewie was spectating, a ridiculous super combo thing went off. And
listeners, for those of you that do play Hearthstone, Mike was playing Shudderwalk Shaman, and his opponent had an Azalina and stole Mike's hand. So every turn, there were Shudderwalks going off with this ridiculous amount of battle cries to go with it. Okay.
And so, if this were done in paper magic, it would be like watching eggs resolve, or storm resolve, or something. Which would take forever and be miserable. But because they're a digital game, you've got players messing with each other's hand, which you'll never be able to do with paper magic. They've got creation and duplication of all kinds of stuff that you would never want to have to keep track of in your head or on paper, which you could do there. And most importantly, instead of being a long and grueling thing that took 20 minutes, it was rapid fire, bam, 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 look at all these effects going off. What happened? Oh, God, is someone dead? Which is the kind of excitement that I think Magic desperately wants to exist.
Fun fact about that particular interaction, they've had to speed up the animation speed for Shudderwalk. Shudderwalk is a card in Hearthstone that recasts all of the battle cry effects, which is essentially enters the battlefield effects for Magic.
It's like Superstorm?
It just, all the enters the battlefield effects that you've had this game, it does again every time you cast it. And in that deck, the plan is to get multiple copies and then put some back in your hand so you can do it again.
Okay.
So that's why... that's why it was all insane when Mike did it. And then his opponent had cast an Azalina Soul Thief who says, your hand becomes a copy of your opponent's hand. And so that means every time he cast a Shudderwalk, he got a copy of Mike's hand in addition to all the other battle cries he'd had the whole game. And it became insane.
Yeah. But, like, comparing the way that works to how, like, paper magic works on that level of combo nonsense... Like, that's the miserable thing where you go to the bathroom while your opponent resolves their turn.
Yep.
And
you pull a Kibler.
Yeah, that's right. And so long as we are tied to Dead Tree Magic, they're not going to be able to do that kind of stuff in Arena.
No.
And so I think what we're going to see is a gradual shift over time towards things that are, you know, within possibility for Arena, probably a lot more creature combat, a lot more big flashy planeswalker nonsense because they're the brand of the game, and a lot less, you know, crazy combo stack manipulation. And over the long term, I think they will eventually reach a point where arena style game stuff will be the way that most people think of Magic, because it'll be the one that's pushed. It'll be the accessible one. It doesn't require all this intense rules knowledge, because you can't cheat if you can't click on it. You might get stuck, but you can't cheat. You don't have to worry about two people not actually knowing what's going on. They just, you click until you can't.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about playing Magic wrong for years with your friends at home before someone goes, so, yeah, that's not the way that works.
That'll be an accessible way for people to play. And there may be a point down the road where they decide that because paper is holding Arena back, they may divorce them again, with Arena being the main thing and paper being the thing that all of us old people with newspapers do. But that's going to be way further down the road. That's not happening this year.
Now, I will,
if you're WotC, you're looking for ways to prep for the future, and that includes competing on.
I will say, I think that there is always going to be a place for paper magic. I don't think that it's going to be the marquee head of the class for much longer. I think Arena is going to be. There are things about paper magic that you just can't replicate, that you just can't do. There's the whole social aspect of magic. For that matter, playing a game of arena is a different set of skills than playing paper magic. You don't have an opponent to read, right? You can't go from their reactions. The idea of bluffing doesn't really work quite the same way. I mean, look at what LSV did in that match a couple of weeks ago, where he essentially Jedi mind tricked his opponent into thinking things were going to go one way.
Oh, by handing him a token.
Yeah,
by
handing him a token. Reach for a token to hand them in online.
Those are things that you just cannot do in digital, but it's not that one is better than the other necessarily. They have different roles. For that matter, the number of people who play Magic, how can I phrase this properly? Wati has said repeatedly that there is a huge class of Magic player who buy Magic products, who play Magic, who never set foot in a tournament. They just don't. They're the casual players, and they vastly outnumber the tournament grinders. So Arena is going to fulfill a role for that I want to play a tournament sort of thing, whereas Paper Magic will still exist for all the rest of the Magic players who are like, you know what? I want to play Commander with my friends. My buddies and I, we get together on like one Sunday a month when we can set aside time and we order a pizza and we hang out and we play some Commander. And that's great. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love that social aspect of Magic. I don't think that will ever really be replaced until we get the implant in our heads that makes the heads up display that we can see all the time. I don't think that that's ever going to be replaced.
I'm on a list for that, by the way.
Are you? Great.
No, it's a lie.
Oh,
I got lasers. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Mike. Okay. So like I said, this big announcement happened when after the recording of the Manipool. So Mike and I were on a call still doing the odds and ends. So lots of the odds and ends for that show is going to be us reacting to the big esports announcement. But we also talked about how, at least I think it was also during all of that, there was an article that actually isn't in the show notes that would have been before this whole esports announcement happened about the Wizards' relationship to Pro Magic and how they've been slowly winding that down. You guys know the article I'm talking about? The open letter to Cedric Phillips and Jerry T.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they back in the day they referred to Duet.
I still got it open.
Oh good. Drop that in the chat there, would you?
I'll drop it in the chat and I'll add it to the show notes. For the curious.
Thank you. Yes.
That was originally the thing that we were going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, and then all this news happened and this sort of didn't matter anymore. But so yeah, they talked about how all of the people who don't go to tournament Magic were called invisibles internally. Yeah, Rosewater explained that Wizards began calling those disappearing players the invisibles, the people who bought Magic but didn't go to any events and didn't have a DCI number, that sort of thing. And those people, Mike brought this up during our conversation, that Wizards noticed that those people mattered a lot more around Mirrodin when tournament attendance took a massive nosedive.
Yeah.
But sales shot through the roof. Which means that these two things are not interconnected the way that they thought they were. And then it happened again in Time Spiral when tournament attendance was up. But sales were down because casual players didn't want anything to do with Time Spiral because it didn't make any... Well, not casual, but like the non-heavily enfranchised people didn't understand all that was going on in Time Spiral. And oh, there goes Bill.
Bill has been... The part of Bill will be played by Appa.
This is... This conversation is taking so long, Bill has to go to the bathroom.
I'm going to call that a strict Appa grade.
God.
But you're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
I don't remember where I was going with this.
The inverse relationship between the invisibles and tournament viability.
Oh, right. That's when they realized that these so-called invisibles were such a big deal.
Yeah.
And then now they're starting to cater more towards them. And that's exactly what Arena is. Arena is for the people who don't care about going to Friday Night Magic or a Pro Tour. They just want to play Magic. It's the same people that Duels of the Planeswalkers was for, and then Magic Duels, and now Magic Arena, except Magic Arena is, like, the final form, essentially.
It's not even its final form.
It probably is, though. So, I had a point, but Bill got up and turned into Appa, and now I've completely lost
my train of thought. It's all good. Choo-choo is what I'll say about that. Yeah, so, you know, I think in I'm sorry, honey. My wife just told me that pun was terrible.
She's not wrong.
I didn't even hear it, and it was awful.
Yeah.
yeah, you didn't, but it was great. Anyone who's saying that Magic Arena is going to kill Paper Magic is probably wrong.
Yes.
Anyone who is saying that Magic Arena is going to kill MTGO, probably wrong in the short term, but I just don't know.
I don't think that it's going to kill Magic Online. I think it's going to slowly become better.
I mean, I'm going to come out and say that time is going to kill Magic Online.
I think Magic Online,
for several years now, has had an endpoint somewhere in the future. Magic Arena is not creating that endpoint. That endpoint was there.
Magic Arena is making sure that you have an option when Magic Online goes away. It may not be exactly what you wanted, but it will be a thing.
Not if, when.
Like, as we said before, Magic Online was built for a different time period than where we're at now.
And it has held on marvelously. Can we talk about Arena Extended?
I wouldn't be surprised if Arena decided that rotating formats was a different animal entirely.
No, they announced that they're going to have arena events that let you use cards that have that just recently rotated out. There was a thing about this.
Okay.
Did you guys see it?
There's going to be some kind of arena legacy.
Yeah, there's going to be an arena format that is, look, for lack of a bit, they're going to make extended, but in arena.
Yeah, they're going to make modern, but in arena. It's going to be like arena.
Well, no,
they'll probably call it the arena format or something.
They haven't quite announced that yet, but I think that's around the corner too.
We're gonna call it old and busted.
No, that's
and
Magic Online.
The newest set only will be the new hotness. And what qualifies as the new hotness will change over time.
Anyway.
I don't know that they'll ever actually build backwards in arena to incorporate modern.
I really don't see that.
I really think what we're going to see is there's going to be another pseudo-eternal non-rotating format that will have a new name, and I think you may be right. It may be the arena format, although I don't really like that nomenclature. I don't think that
they'll come up with a dumb name that'll probably have a C at the end of it.
And it will be like modern, but only sets from when arena started forward. And it would be stuff that was designed for this sort of online system, and it won't have fetches, and it won't have all of the headaches of the cards that are in modern. I think that's what's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, for all the people that want Arena to have modern, if they were to do that, that would kill Magic Online.
Magic Online's main strength is going to be it is the place where you can play Magic the way you remember playing Paper Magic.
Yeah.
For good or ill.
So,
where all the old cards are.
Yeah. If they were to just suddenly drop, hey, here's Modern on Magic Arena, Magic Online, that would be the gun to Magic Online's face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going
to
do that.
It would be tied to a tree at that point.
Not only are they not going to do it for that reason, but I think it would just be way too much work. And way too much effort to put all of Modern on Arena.
Modern goes back so far that they would be wasting a lot of developmental resources for that.
And
not to mention the headaches of everything else involved.
Exactly.
And for what benefit? I don't think it's going to happen.
The benefit would be to kill Magic Online, so that doesn't seem like a benefit.
Which they can do without all that work. It's very easy.
Can.
There's a button.
I could say they could. There's probably one of those big throw switches on the wall.
You see, that they could I just thought there'd be a throw switch, but the more I think about it, I think it's actually connected to a Staples Easy Button that they hit with a mallet.
the mallet is
behind like some plexiglass, so you have to use a separate hammer to get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then use that to reset Magic Online. It's a two-step system.
Yep.
So that's... Can we stop now, you think, with the...
I think we've probably said most of what we could say, plus a lot more.
Yeah, because more...
And there will be plenty of podcasts in the future as we get more details, I promise.
More information to come.
So, I know Clues doesn't want to do this, so we're going to rapid fire.
I really don't.
We're going to... Check this out. Oh. Boom, rapid fire. GP Portland. Bill, how many people?
Some people won.
1,765 people playing Modern.
Wow, really?
1765.
Okay, here we go. Tyler Putnam won Grixis Death Shadow. Second place, Daniel, let's say, Geiter, Black Green Midrange. Jonathan Corzo Storm in third. Richard Tan, Is It Phoenix, in 4th. Yuta Takahashi playing Blue Black Control in 5th. Adam Courtney's Is It Phoenix in 6th. Stephen Rikin? Rikin, let's say. Abzan Evolution. What? Eldritch Evolution deck? With Postmortem Lunge, which I had to stare at for a while because I don't remember this card at all. In 7th. And then Aaron Kasner running Elves. Clues?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying any attention.
Elves?
Oh, Elves. Elves is
there,
great.
There
yeah.
we go.
Was it Modern Elves?
Yes.
Is there a Craterhoof Behemoth?
No.
Dead to me.
That was 8th place. Okay. That was GP Portland.
Yeah.
GP Liverpool was, oh god, Team Unified Modern. This is going to be even faster.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's no point talking about the deck list.
Yeah, Team so who won? Hang on. Danielle...
Well, it was set up.
What?
There are 504 teams, 15, 12 players. Carry on.
Those are good numbers.
These are both good numbers, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and look, okay. to be clear, it's not that I don't care about the people who won. Great job, really. I'm sure it was awesome, but...
We've been going for a very long time.
We really have.
Okay, so first place, Daniel Becerra, Marcelino Freeman, and Dagoberta Silva. First place, boom, go get them. Second place, Carlos Morel, Sergio Garcia, Ricardo Sanchez. Boom, second place. Third place, Daniel Martinez Carol, something like that. Jose Luis Velasquez and Daniel Toledo. Boom, third place. And then in fourth, Daniel Ballaston, Alvaro Sanchez Lopez, and Tony Ramis Pascual. Something like that. Fourth place. Boom, top four. Go get them. So that was GP Liverpool. Awesome. Also, we had snow. So SCGCon actually shut down a day early.
Yeah, they did.
Except for the top eight, which was held somewhere.
It reminded me of the heady days of GP Snowmageddon that happened in Indianapolis when there was a giant ice storm and everybody was stuck there. And I swear to God, I have a distinct memory of partway through Saturday when one of the judges announced, if you're not live for the top eight, you should probably leave. Just drop and get out, because if you don't leave right now, you're going to be snowed in.
It also reminds me of GP Pittsburgh, whatever year, the year that I went, where Pittsburgh was supposed to get like a lot of snow, but not till tomorrow. And then suddenly people around the hall started talking about, I think the snow's going to hit sooner. And then my mom called and was like, you need to get the hell out. And I'm like, what? And I looked it up and I was like, I need to get the hell out. So I made the rounds and said, bye. Went to my hotel room, got all my stuff, walked to my car, and it started snowing.
Nice.
I was like, damn it. I made it all the way to Highway 19 before there was a whiteout. And I had to go down, and anyone who knows this area, pity me. I had to go down 19 in whiteout conditions. Thank God the truck behind me, like the big truck behind me, got sick of following me, passed me, so I could just follow his taillights the whole way. Because everything was white. If he goes off the side of this mountain, then damn it, I'm going with him. Anyway.
You got a Mario hop off of him at the bottom to live.
Brian?
poor Yoshi.
So that's,
Yoshi didn't live.
But the Invitational still happened?
Yes.
429
people in the Invitational.
Yeah, but it's an Invitational, so no one cares. So,
like, just for numbers. It's split between Standard and Modern, so the deck lists don't matter.
Dude, look at this. When I click on the top 8 Invitational Modern deck lists, it shows me Tyler Putnam, the guy who won GP Portland. Okay, hang on. Let's click on the standard one. Here we go. Okay.
Good job, guys.
Andrew Jessup apparently won the whole thing. Is that correct?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, the invitational ones are mixed in there. If you go back to
Are. But
yeah,
it's easier
there.
To just go to the standard one.
Sure.
So Andrew Jessup won the whole thing. Evan Whitehouse came in second. Gerard Fabiano was in third. Austin Collins in fourth. Again, it's a multi-format tournament, so I'm not going to bother going through what they were playing. Marshall Arthurs finished fifth. Justin... Gibbing? In sixth. Zachary, I'm going to say Keen, in seventh. And Dan Jessup in eighth. Congrats to all of those players.
They were playing tabletop Magic.
Yes, they were. And God bless them.
And given the nature of the event closing around them, it was probably on an actual tabletop.
Yeah, like...
One.
In the hotel or something? Like, I don't know how they did the top eight.
Yeah, I know that the venue was closed. So
I'm going to hope that it was at, like, let's say Wendy. per FNM tradition. What's open at midnight? We're going there. Better use sleeves.
That's awkward. Hey,
that's SCG, because they had to close on Sunday.
Yeah. And I do believe that's everything except this. Oh, wait, no, there's a couple more things. Dear God. Okay, yeah. Hang on. I don't have these open in tabs already. Okay, real quick.
Boom. Stay on target.
Okay, they're doing streamer events on Magic Online. Not Magic Online, on Magic Arena.
Arena, yeah.
Now, for those of you that play Hearthstone, these are going to be sort of like tavern brawls. So, where every, I don't know how long these last, but there will be special rules in effect. And Kibler tweeted his, and according to the website, his is the first one, I think. Kibler's Giant Monsters. The special rule set is, if you cast a creature with converted mana cost 4 or more, you draw a card.
Oh, so it's like the stipulation magic.
It's,
or whatever they were called. They used to do these things for, like, community events.
It's sort of, yeah. So, but, like tavern brawls in Hearthstone are a thing that are
relatively. Sure, I mean, this is, like, changing the actual game rules, not just, like, the drafting rules.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
So this is where you build a separate deck for this, and it costs either 100 gems or 500 gold, I think is what this says, yeah.
Okay.
And you go in and try to get up to 5 wins, it looks like, to get cards and gold or something.
Okay, so Kibler doing weird stuff.
So, yeah, and there are a bunch of these listed on the site. I know Kriparian has one coming up. That was the only other name I recognized, but of course there's no link to it here, it's just a screenshot. But so this is going to be a thing on Magic Arena, sort of like the... Okay, this is December 14th through the 17th, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I think these are going to be like tavern brawls. Like every this, there'll be a thing that has special rules that last for a certain amount of time, and then they're gone. But these are apparently done by and featuring the streamers, which is really cool. I like that. As opposed to the tavern brawls, where they're just these ridiculous rules and they make you want to punch whoever came up with them sometimes. Also, the World Magic Cup, which again happens this weekend... On Twitch.tv, yeah, which happens on Twitch.tv/Magic, December 14th through the 16th, will be, the Twitch chat will be subscriber only, which, I don't know why it's taken this long to do that, honestly.
Excellent question.
So, yeah, this is, it'll be, hopefully, much less horrible. I don't ever, on the rare occasion I do watch Magic coverage, I do not have the chat open, because that's just asking for it. Honestly, I don't know why anybody has the chat open. Ever.
To see themselves and others.
Not here. Not here. I want to be clear. Chat here is great.
No, I'm talking about in these large Magic events. In any sort of large anything, I don't understand why people have the chat open. Because it's just horrible. It's either horrible people being horrible or just like random copy-pasted nonsense. There's very rarely
a lot of the times the chat turns into people asking the same stupid question over and over again. And reminders that most people who think they know how magic works don't know how magic works.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of, why doesn't he do blank with never having read that card or understood the rules interactions or not realizing that, you know, the pros aren't dumb. You just have only seen one small part of the equation. But
yeah.
Yeah, also, I would not read it.
Jay Barlow just resubscribed for the 15th month in a row. Thanks, buddy. And he says, Chewy's chat is good chat. It's the only one I keep open. Aw. That's on you guys. You guys are awesome. But, so yeah, they're turning the World Magic Cup Twitch chat to sub-only mode, and hopefully that will make it just less terrible, because Twitch chat at Magic events is terrible.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. Like, heaven forbid somebody who's not a straight white guy end up on screen. Just heaven forbid, because the chat just turns into horrible nonsense.
You're getting YouTube comments in real time.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, YouTube comments used to be... Like the very bottom of the barrel, but now it's Twitch chat.
Yeah. Because there's a delay in moderation.
And then finally, this is a thing that's been circulating for a few days that we just have to mention because it circles back into our original conversation about the announcements. Okay, so in February 2018, WotC announced that Master Sets would be themed. You guys remember that?
I do.
Yeah
it was a while ago. We were young then.
So yeah, they announced that. This is a clip out from the announcement, okay? On the box for Ultimate Masters, it says, let's see here. Throughout the history of Magic, many of these spells have drawn their power from the graveyard. Ultimate Masters celebrates that legacy by bringing together some of the most potent graveyard-themed cards and mechanics ever printed. Master the power of life and death as you draft your way to immortality. Hey, nowhere in any of the promotional anything did they mention a graveyard theme.
Wait a minute. Okay, they used the word legacy, and they used the words about bringing things from the graveyard and power from the graveyard. That's it. Reserved list abolished. There we go.
Or Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Half-Life 3 confirmed, yes.
Yeah.
And look, guys, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out. Like, for real.
End of the world, man.
Beyond Good and Evil 2.
It's okay, wait. Kingdom Hearts 3 isn't out yet, so I'm holding on to that one. But then
give it a month.
The set symbol is the two skulls, which the conclusion drawn here, and this is just an Imgur post, is UMA is the renamed scrapped Graveyard Master set. And I checked with a buddy of mine who bought a box of Ultimate Masters. I was like, does it actually say this? And he sent me a picture. Yes, it does. Which leads us, you remember we said when they told us about Ultimate Masters, we said this feels like a rushed out early product?
Yeah, it does.
This is your proof right here. Straight up.
Did a find and replace.
It's over there.
For the name on another product.
Yeah, they did find and replace Graveyard Masters with Ultimate Masters, and it went out as is. Like, they didn't change any of the other box here, text here, because this was supposed to be the first of the themed master sets, and then they got word that, no.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that anymore, it's Ultimate Masters.
Yeah.
But no one told this team who does this, and this was like a last minute, oh crap, find and replace, okay, send it through.
Yeah.
Which, like I said before, it feels like multiple teams within Wizards of the Coast aren't talking to each other. And this also means that I'm taking this to mean that our theory that Ultimate Masters was rushed out early, I'm taking this as proof, straight up.
I mean,
I'm pointing over here because that's where it is on my screen, but for you guys, it's over there.
Like, I make fun of people looking for patterns, but this is pretty blatant. Like, I would be more surprised if they managed to do such a bad job rolling this out on purpose. It's way easier for me to believe that they were simply told, push this forward so we can focus on Arena next year. And then they dumped it in like a 4-week turnaround, or as long as it took to find and replace all the product and print it.
Yep.
I completely believe that. And the fact that, you know, when you go back and you look over the set, you're like, wow, there sure is a lot of flashback in this thing. And it's not just because they're good cards. Yeah, I believe it. I completely believe it. Like, Rune Snag is here. Like, great cards, but just doing a search for the word graveyard, there's a lot of them. I didn't actually pay attention to the set with that in mind, but yeah, like, this makes so much sense. So maybe they rushed it and a lot of other decisions in, let's say, the last 3 months. And this is one that they managed to pop out for some of that nice 2018 money.
There was another announcement I thought, okay, I'm going to say a thing. There's a non-zero chance that I dreamed this and that it didn't really happen. But I swear buried somewhere there was a tiny announcement in one of the many, let's say an Instagram feed for somebody's dog. I don't know. That the printing of Magic sets was being moved back to a U.S. facility in order to try and fix some of the printing issues that we've had in recent sets. Does that ring a bell for anybody? Chat, am I making this up? Did I dream this?
I remember talking about that.
I personally have no memory of that, but that doesn't mean anything really.
All right, well, it's possible that I made that up.
Oh, well, that guy said that's legit. So that there's one.
Okay, yeah, two people. There we go.
And Rakdos also think so. So
chat is sharing my delusion, but I don't know where I saw it. So if someone
has seen it, is. Yeah, I'm sure this was a thing. I just don't remember talking about it on the show.
Wait,
so
was this the guy that they that was doing the articles about printing and whatnot?
He did a series of things on the packaging and the
that guy. Yeah. I don't remember who that was now.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
Okay, anyway. So what about that, Clues?
I just wanted to mention it. I just wanted to see if anybody else had it. And by the way, Fayen says, that's exactly what I was thinking about the pyramid and the rest of that. Yeah, that is exactly the reference I was about to make. Thank you for making it for me. He knows.
What? Are you guys making Fletch references?
No. No, no. This
oh, wait,
is
no, that's real genius. Excuse me.
That's
sorry.
Real genius.
Sorry,
that's right.
My bad.
Yeah.
Why am I the only one that has that dream?
I was just thinking of the immortal words of Socrates when he said, I drank
what? I drank what? Oh, wait, we have a link in the chat.
We have a link. I'm following it. It could be anything.
Hasbro
I'm
CEO manufacturing of WotC trading cards to return to United States. But, well, you can't see it on my screen because of the way it's cropped. But there you go. This is from
so
5 days ago.
Company page.
But yeah, this is from 5 days ago. So, huh. There you go, Clues. You are not crazy.
Well, now let's not be hasty.
About this.
Okay.
Oh, and then Jay Spencer gave us a commitment to excellence from...
Yeah, that was April. The one I was looking at.
Launch a new blah, 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 blah. It was Tom Winterstrand. Yeah, that's the guy who was writing these articles.
Okay, then.
Okay, so yeah.
We're rolling out a new coding method, blah, 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 first in class. Hey, I think this was from... Yeah, this is from April. No. I'm thinking of something newer than that.
But I think this was mentioned in the article series by Tom Winterstrand, who is... Yeah. Who I couldn't remember who he was.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's the thing.
So thank you, chat. You guys are the best.
Thank you so much, Faye. Oh. Oh, man. Okay, great. Is that it? Are we wrapped up?
So while we're on Real Genius, is it bad that just a couple days ago, in my head popped the dude going, I forget the guy with the braces who they rigged up the microphone?
Chet?
Was that Chet?
I think that was Chet.
Yeah, it was like, when they shut off the microphone and walk away, he's like sitting there going, hello, Jesus! I don't know why that popped into my head. And then somebody walked past and looked at him, he's like, he hung up. Like, that was just in my head just a couple days ago. Anyway, I love that movie. If you haven't seen Real Genius, go watch Real Genius somewhere. Yeah. I will look up and see if it's streaming anywhere.
It's not a great movie.
It's pretty good, though.
It's worth seeing.
It's got a baby Val Kilmer. It is not streaming anywhere, but you can rent it on all of the places.
Baby Val Kilmer. And a lot of stuff about science and lasers that don't work that way.
It's also got William Atherton as another jerk, because William Atherton is a great jerk. Okay, fair. Anyway. So there's sadly one more thing that we have to do, Clues. I'm very sorry.
Oh, man.
So you guys remember I did the charity stream?
Oh, and
we did I was doing drawings for playmats that Clues had donated, and the big one was for the Tarmogoyf mat and the guy
you
on...
know, from that Graveyard Ultimate Master set.
The guy on... here on Twitch, SilverFist72711, and I sent him a whisper, hey man, and I never got anything back from him, which means we're going to do another drawing to see who gets the damn Tarmogoyf mat.
Statute of limitations has passed.
Yeah, like it's been like almost a month now. Has it been 3-4 weeks, something like that?
It's been about 3 weeks.
Yeah, so he loses. Let's see, display capture.
So if you donated a while ago, you might actually still have a chance.
So yeah, here you go. So I have now erased Silver Fist. So we have 143 entries, right? As you can see right here on random.org, I've got 1 to 143, right? Okay. Hang on. Let me make this smaller so we can actually see both. This is killing me. Whoop. Okay. There we go. So let's do it. I'm going to hit generate. Boom. The number's 3. Banzai Tree. Banzai Tree is somewhere far away. He's in Scandinavia somewhere. So Clues, if you need any help with shipping on that, let me know. So
we'll make it happen. Just get me some contact.
Yeah, I will poke him in the Discord server.
Yeah, and
because I don't think he's here.
For everybody else, your match should go out this week. I was ironing out how to make shipping happen.
So. He was ironing them.
He was ironing the mat.
I was ironing out the mat.
Making sure there's no, like, creases. Don't worry about
no
it.
No creases whatsoever.
So, right, 3. Yeah, this is right here. Yeah. So, I will poke it and see if he even wants the Tarmogoyf mat. And if not, we'll do another drawing on the next episode, whenever the hell that is.
That's right. One way or another.
Eventually, this three times iron mat will go out.
So, we are now done.
So I can go to bed.
Or wait, was there one? There was one Magic Online thing.
The short version is that Magic Online has finally implemented the ability to mute everyone who isn't your friends. So enjoy that.
Yeah,
take that.
Like tying that into the theme of the Twitch chat is terrible. Online gaming chat is often also terrible. So you now have the ability to shut them up while playing, a feature that real life tabletop paper magic desperately needs and does not have.
Yeah.
Or you have nice people that you play with, and you should encourage that behavior. Yeah. Let's hope so.
All right, so let's wrap it up then, boy. This has been over 2-hour episode for us, which is impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot to talk about. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no Y in Goblin because it got stuck in snow on the way here today. I think it may run into Merit Lage, but it's got like 30 mana worth of turns to get out of there, so we'll see how it goes. But past that, you can find me on Twitter where lately I've been asking people poll questions. In addition to these two, I also asked people at one point what their main interaction with Magic is, because not everyone is there to play the actual card game. I put up the question in response to the concept of Magic Fest and also podcasting and other stuff like that. And I'm probably going to keep asking these polls because I think they're fun. I find them interesting. So I don't actually remember what the final results of that one were. I will dig that out later. But for right now, I'm enjoying all of that nonsense and continuing to post there. And that'll be enough out of me. So go Clues.
All right. Best way to find me is, of course, on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Do support your local shops. I suggest once the snow melts that you check out Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. Also, hey, you know, if you enjoy watching the stream, if you're one of the people who's like in the chat or watching the stream right now, you should spread the word. Get more people to come watch the stream. If you're just listening to this and you've never watched the stream, you've missed out because Bill's usually wearing something strange on his head and you've got to see it to believe it. So come on by and check us out. We stream Monday nights on twitch.tv/themanapool. And speaking of the Manapool, over to you, Chewy.
Ha, I am Chewy. Oh, there's more, right. So,
I decided to not do the hi, Chewy thing this time, and it made it weird.
It did, yeah. So if, I'll just keep this relatively short, you want to help support the continuation of Manapool Productions, as it were, for the Manapool podcast and Monday Night Magic podcast and all of the other streaming and YouTube videos and whatnot I do, the most direct way to do that is on patreon.com/themanapool, where you can become a lifeguard. Get it? Manapool? Lifeguard? It's funny.
Stay alive.
You can become a... Hang on. I always forget where it starts. It starts at Uncommon. Right. An Uncommon Lifeguard, which gets you early access to the Manapool podcast and to YouTube videos. You can become a Rare Lifeguard, which gets you the early access stuff and access to the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that is uncensored and unfiltered.
There's usually swearing.
Usually, yeah. From me, if absolutely no one else, because I swear constantly unless I'm podcasting. And if you really want to help out, then become a Mythic Lifeguard, which gets you the early stuff, it gets you the odds and ends, and it gets you the sponsorship shout-out on both podcasts and on the in-screen for all the YouTube videos. So, let's thank our Mythic Lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Timu Hellas Are You, that's Bonsai Tree, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Brittain, Casey, Faye and Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckawing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, couldn't get there. Whew. Where did I stop? Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beastfather, Aaron Goodwine. Man, I thought I could do that in one breath. So thank you all so very much for your support. I quite literally could not do it without you, along with all the rest of our lifeguards of all tiers or rarities or... Yeah, I guess those work. And you know what? If you want to know what's going on here on twitch.tv/themanipool or over on youtube.com/themanipool, just go look, because it's late. So it's the messenger at the moment. There you go. So I guess we're done. So thank you, as always, to Squee and Clues for being so clear-headed and well-spoken about all of this. And Cthulhu, yes. Hey, buddy. Fathagen. And thank all of you for listening, or for showing up live, or for watching on YouTube. Just thank all of you. We really appreciate it. And with that, we're done. So,
woo.
I will say it again. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.